doctrine. So this is a wonderful occasion that we have this evening to honor a great man of God, Brother Johnny Rogers, and we're just so thankful for those things that will take place very shortly. I was told to be very brief tonight, and I want to do just that. As a matter of fact, I was handed an envelope that says worship ends at 6:55, so I want to honor that request. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, and I just want to lift a few thoughts from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and looking at verse number 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 14 and verse number 15. I want to say also to Brother Bradshaw, just thank you for an outstanding lesson this morning. It was just what we needed to hear. You know, it's times like these that we ought to be thankful for the Word of God. In a day and time when there's a lot of confusion, when there are lots of questions, when there are lots of things that we just can't begin to comprehend from a fleshly basis of why and what our approach should be, we're thankful that we have the Word of God to give clarity to the things that we experience in this life. And Brother Bradshaw gave us just what we needed this morning, and we're just thankful for those things that he shared with us. So, and again, in Ephesians chapter 3, in verse number 14 and verse number 15, just want to lift some thoughts from Paul's statement here as he talks about and gives a prayer on behalf of the church. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 14. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus, Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." It's fitting as we continue in our study, talking about the idea of divine unity, that Paul prays a prayer in which he talks about the spiritual household, that being the church. And it's with that thought in mind, I want to just share a few thoughts this evening. Paul's prayer for the family of God. Paul's prayer for the family of God. Paul, at the time of this writing, was a prisoner under Nero, and he was awaiting trial, but Paul did not refer to himself as a prisoner of Nero. He instead referred to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. This was because everything he did was for the cause of Christ. This chapter in Ephesians is a prayer in which he prays on behalf of the saints, and even as he is in bonds, he's not worried about himself being in bonds. He's worried and concerned about the needs of those saints, those Gentiles for which he had been given the commandment to reach out to and minister to. And his prayer was, and I find this very interesting and very appropriate for this time, His prayer was that they will not faint. Look at what we find in verse number 13. He said, wherefore I desire, Ephesians 3 and 13, he said, wherefore I desire that ye not faint, that you faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul is praying a prayer that they will not faint. Sometimes the things that go on around us that cause us to want to faint. The word faint means to grow weary. Paul used this thought in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. He said, and let us not grow weary in doing good. He said, for in due time, he said, we will reap if we faint not. The word faint means to become weary in our striving. Jesus on one occasion saw the multitudes and he looked upon them with compassion because they went about and fainted and went about as sheep without a shepherd. Sometimes we lose our direction and we sometimes feel like we want to faint. The Hebrew writer spoke to the idea of fainting in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 3. He said, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And don't be wearied in your mind. We don't need to be individuals that are fainting. We are individuals as members of the body of Christ. We have a hope. We have an everlasting hope. As the world is looking for answers, as the world is looking for the solutions to problems, one thing that the Christian needs to always realize is that I serve a God who is able. And so Paul, as he prays the prayer, he prays this prayer to the Father, not just to the general sense, but he prays this prayer to the Father on the behalf of the family of God. We are members of a family. And not only just members of a family, it's a spiritual family. It's a redemptive family. And we, as members of the body of Christ, comprise that family. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, I attended a family reunion. And as I was at that family reunion, I saw people I've never seen before. And I suspect many of them I'll never see again. But as I saw them, I embraced them. I loved them. I befriended them. I hugged them. And I spent time with them because, why? Because we're family. We are joined together by blood. And the same is true for us as members of the body of Christ. We are joined together, not by physical blood, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And with that, as Paul prayed for the family, don't you know that ought to be my step? That ought to be my practice as well? I should be willing to pray for the family? You know, and this might, you know, like Brother Bradshaw said this morning, this might be a little bit political. With all the things that are happening right now, and if any of you are on Facebook, there was something interesting that took place. People began to utilize what took place as a means to throw a cast a shadow upon the Lord's church. And it wasn't just individuals outside of the body. It was individuals who are members of the body of Christ. And I won't go into what was said, and you go out there on Facebook and see for yourself. But one thing that I would say to all of us, before you cast a bad light on your brother, before you complain about somebody, before you talk about somebody, before you criticize somebody, the first thing that you ought to do for them is pray for them. Pray for them. And I just suspect if you, the Bible said, the fervent and effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. Talking about somebody don't do anything. Criticizing doesn't accomplish anything. And I suspect if you spend a lot of time in fervent prayer for your brother or your sister or for your sister congregation or for members of the body, if you spend time in prayer for those individuals, I suspect that when you get up from your knees in praying fervently, there's very little negative you're going to have to say. We need to pray for one another. Pray for the church. Pray for the leadership. Thank God we had a great man such as Brother Rogers in our leadership. Thank God for the wonderful example that he's given over the years. Continue to pray for this leadership as it continues to grow and continues to do the things that God would have it to do. Pray for this leadership. Pray for brothers and sisters in Christ. Husbands, pray for your wives. Wives, pray for your husband. Husband and wives, pray for your children. Children, pray for your parents. We need to pray one for another. In a time like this, where there's so many things that are happening, one of the wonderful tools that we have at our disposal is prayer. But Paul, as he prays for some specific things. First of all, down in verse number 16. Again, in verse number 14, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Then look what he said, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." He prays that we be strengthened by the Spirit. You know, strength, our strength doesn't come from without. Our strength comes from within. The Spirit of God living and dwelling within us. I don't have time to go to the scripture, but mark down John chapter 14, verse number 15 through verse number 18. "And I must be a fit dwelling place for the Spirit of God, because it is through the Spirit that God does his work in each and every one of us. In order for the Spirit to work in my life must be based upon the Word of God." Not only that, in verse number 17, I'm trying to hurry up here. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. There needs to be a oneness that exists in all of us, and that oneness comes from the fact that Christ dwells in each and every one of us. We all take on the attitude and the nature of Christ. When we all take on the nature and the attitude of Christ, it brings us closer together. It makes us look like one another. It causes us to have a commonality one with another. Paul prays that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith. Some scriptures that you might want to look at that is Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Also Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. And John chapter 15, verse number 4 through verse number 6. He prays again that Christ would dwell in our hearts. And then he goes on to say in verse number 18 and verse number 19, "that you might be able to comprehend with all the saints." I'm praying for your church. I'm praying that you're able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth all understanding. Paul is saying, I want you to understand the multidimensional depth of the love of God. Have you ever stopped to consider the love of God? I believe for all of us as Christians, the consideration of the love of God needs to be something that takes place in our lives constantly. I need to try to understand the love of God. And when I began to comprehend the depth, the length, and the height of the love of God and how it is expressed toward me, it ought to compel me to love someone else the same way. When I think about the love of God, it's a divine love. Jesus said, as the Father had loved me, so I have loved you. He said, continue in my love. John chapter 15 and verse number 9. Paul asked a question in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of God? It's an inseparable love. Not only that, it is a self-sacrificing love. John chapter 15 and verse number 13. Greater love had no man than this, that one would lay down his life for a friend. It's also a constraining love. And I know I'm going through these quickly, but it's a constraining love. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14, Paul says that we were all dead in sin, but Christ died for us and gave us life. And we ought to be constrained to love one another based on the great sacrifice that Christ made for each and every one of us. It's a constraining love. You know, as I come to fully understand the depth of God's love, the fact that he loved me in spite of me, it humbles me. And I know there are times where we come to where we feel like a person might not be deserving of love. But when I think about what everything is God has done for me, there's never a time in which there's someone that I come in contact with that is not deserving of the love of God. Then, when I think about this further, not only does he want us to know the love of God, but he wants us to know this. He said, now to him, in verse number 20 of Ephesians chapter 3, he said, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Paul says, unto him. You know, man is often willing, but not able. And sometimes man is able, but not willing. But we serve a God who is able and who is willing to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. And I just believe that in a day and time such as this, when we have questions, I may not get an official in the city to do what I think he needs to do. I may not get the answer that I want for a case. I may not get the type of response that I feel like I should get over here or over there, but one thing I know, there is one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that I ask or think. I'm not going to put my trust in one that might be willing but not able, or able but not willing. I'm going to continue to put my trust in God. I'm going to put my trust in God. To him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. See, I got to stay with the power source. You see, real power is not on this earth. There's political power, but that's not real power. There's economic power, but that's not real power. There's a power of influence, that's not real power. There's a power of just having a personality that draws people to you, but that's not real power. The real power source is God himself. But look at what he said. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the Bible said, unto him, it says, be glory. Unto him, be glory. Unto him, be glory. Where is your glory going to be found? Where is the power source going to be found? Unto him, be glory in the church. in a day and time, which are a lot of things that are going on, I'm going to stay right here. Yes, I'm convinced that some of the problems that we have, as even as we address them and we talk about them and we try to deal with them and we try to come up with solutions for them, I'm convinced that a lot of the problems that have been here before I got to this earth, I'm convinced that a lot of them are going to still be here when I leave. But I've got a power source. And if some of the things that go on in this world never ever get solved, I can still live victoriously, because one of these days, my existence will no longer be on this earth. I can live victoriously in that I realize there's something better that awaits me. That doesn't mean we don't try to change or try to address some of the things that happen, but when the things don't change the way they should, when things don't turn around the way that they should, I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm going to get deeper in my relationship with God and know that one of these days, I'll have a better existence. One of these days, I will be in the presence of God. One of these days, I'll be able to live out and experience that love that has existed for me even before the foundation of the world. So this was Paul's prayer. So I say to all of us as members of the body of Christ, as Paul prayed for the body, let us continue to pray as well. Let us have a deeper trust and a deeper belief in God. Let us have a deeper conviction of the promises of God. Let us tap into the true power source and know that we have a God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Again, man may be willing but not able. Might be able but not willing. But God is able and willing. Amen. There might be someone here, not a member of the Lord's church. We beckon you to become a member of the Lord's church and take advantage of the power that comes from a relationship with Him. Come to God by hearing the word of God, believing the same, making a change in your life through repentance, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, go down to the watery grave of baptism. You now are His possession. You now have access to that power. We encourage you to do so if you've not done so already. Maybe there's some in our audience that have not lived your life in accordance to the will of God. Maybe you have sought your power, have sought solutions in other places, but I'm here to tell you the only solution is God Himself. And we encourage you to come back to Christ before it is too late. If there's someone here that has a need, we ask you please come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
I try.